When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.
Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Jeff Lucas, still sounding rather nasally from one of those winter colds that just won't go away. And yes, winter seems to be well and truly upon us, even though the weather's been mild in recent days, but the clocks have gone back, the evenings are darker, and apparently so are our moods. This week, the BBC on their website put out three best ways to help us to beat the winter blues. It's called SAD, Seasonal Affective Disorder. Sadness and depression that can come upon us, especially during wintry seasons. And the BB suggests that we should focus not on what we can't do, but rather what we can do. Build a fire, read a book, have a movie night, learn a new recipe. And also, interestingly, accept that we need more rest at this time of the year because, as the website suggests, our bodies are biologically hardwired for more rest in the winter. The BBC further suggests that we should deliberately be proactive and make plans to maintain a healthy diet, perhaps have a break from alcohol, do something. Well, I think this advice is really helpful, and it can be especially assisting to those of us who find ourselves in churches where happiness is required all the time, whatever the weather. I was in one of those churches once as a visiting speaker, and I had a rather unnerving conversation. It all began with a rather innocent question. I asked a man how he was. It was a mistake. Moments earlier, he'd been perusing the contents of one of my books, which were nattily displayed on a table at the back of the church building. His dark, eagle eyes darted over the flicked pages. In rapid search, it appeared, for potential heresy. He sniffed, dropped the book back on the table like a red-hot coal and barked back his retort. Me? Listen here, brother, I'll tell you how I am. I'm praising God. What about you? There was no warmth in his voice, no gentle inquiry, but rather a screeching demand that made me want to scream, "No one expects the Spanish Inquisition." Fearing that a less than gleeful response would prompt him to immediately remove my fingernails and immerse me in a huge vat of molten lead, I affirmed that yes, I was indeed praising the Lord, and I beat a hasty retreat to the toilet. There inside, a friendly-looking man was washing his hands, which is a splendid idea in church life, especially where fraternal handshaking is a major pastime. Relieved that I had escaped from the book table conversation, I blurted out to him, "Hello, how are you?" And it was another mistake. He smiled and tugged at the automatic towel, which automatically jammed. "Oh, I'm fine, brother." And then he added, a wistful look in his eyes, "We have to be, don't we?" He disentangled himself from Beelzebub the toweling machine and promptly left. My mind spun wildly. First, I'd had to meet Conan the Barbarian worshipper, and then this kindly man with soggy hands made it quite clear that it is required of Christian types to be fine, happy, thrilled, ecstatic, by order. We have to be. And so I returned to the hall where the meeting was now starting, and a farmer was giving his testimony about the week that he'd just had. "Yes, this last week I was kicked in the head by a sheep, praise God." He was very enthusiastic about this, as if getting mugged by a skinhead fleece had long been the ultimate ambition in his life. "Amen," cried the congregation, suggesting that they too would like to be on the receiving end of a lamb chop to the head. "I had to have 7 stitches in my left eye, hallelujah," he continued, to the further delight of the crowd, who were all very, very happy. The truth is that life, even the Christian life, is not a gallop from one thrill to another. There are the boring bits, yes, the tragic bits. Jesus has washed my sins away, but I still have to wash the car. Grinning with gritted teeth doesn't work when tragedy knocks at your door. Jesus didn't flash a cheesy smile and headbutt a tambourine in Gethsemane. Rather, he struggled and wept and ached and stayed faithful still to his Father's will. He was open about his pain, begging his sleepy friends to watch in prayer with him. And then when I look at some of the biblical heroes, some of the greatest of them in Bible history have battled serious sadness and depression. Jeremiah chapter 20 reveals a prophet on an emotional roller coaster, cursing the day that he'd been born. Famously, Jonah, we know about him stomping out of the revival town that Nineveh had become and sulking, disappointed with God. Some of the most often repeated statements throughout the Psalms go like this: why, how long, where have you gone? And then the Apostle Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 1. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, he says, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. And so seasonal sadness, struggles with our emotions, depression, the reality is that all of us, as people of faith, can at times navigate these seasons of shadows. But whatever our feelings, this much is true, and I don't suggest this as a cliche or a slogan, something to fix something, but the reality is this. As Don Moen and Rachel Robinson declare, God is good. We're talking about wintry sadness and even those times of depression that some of us experience. I'm so grateful for the local church that welcomed me in as a brand new Christian. It was back in 1975. And as I've often said, it was an era of fabulous music and horrendous fashion choices. Looking back, surely a fashion demon was roaming the earth, luring humanity into the belief that it was a good idea to wear platform heels, flared trousers, and, I itch as I say this, non-breathable brine nylon shirts. Yuck. My landing on Planet Church was not without turbulence. Those Christian people that were new to me, they all seemed very strange. I became a believer after attending a service of baptism by full immersion. Bewildered by the presence of a miniature swimming pool at the front of the church building, I was a little freaked out when the black-gowned minister waddled down into the tank, dressed like Dracula and sporting rather large waders. Had he been doubly mugged by that roaming fashion demon? And the aquatic mugging that followed confused me more as a number of hapless Christian innocents were plunged beneath the tepid water. My bewilderment was compounded by some of the songs that we sang back then. One snappy little ditty was, "It isn't any trouble just to S-M-I-L-E. No, it isn't any trouble just to S-M-I-L-E. If you pack up all your troubles, then they'll vanish like a bubble if you only take the trouble just to S-M-I-L-E. I mean, it's enough to make you V-O-M-I-T, really. There was just one problem with all of this, and that was because of my angst-filled, guilt-burdened 17-year-old self. It was actually quite a lot of trouble just to S-M-I-L-E. So Winston Churchill likened depression to being like a black dog, and my immediate family had a few kennels of our own. I'm so thankful for a loving congregation and a caring pastor. They helped me find a way through, but I remember feeling irrationally ashamed about my own mental health struggles. And the blues resurfaced later when I became a church leader. More about that later, but enough to say my idealism was quickly vaporized by politicizing clergy, believers who made much ado about nothing, and long hours of work for very little money. Again, I was rescued by the kindness of a congregation that smiled rather than sneered when their 22-year-old minister dispensed his pearls of wisdom about God, life, and the universe. But a few of my friends, Christian friends, they were not so helpful. I think they might have previously been employed by Job. Snap out of it, they said. Pray more. Trust God. Find joy. I felt bad because I felt bad, and I fell silent about my emotional struggles. But then as I turned to Scripture, I discovered that God refuses to present us with a group of grinning, airbrushed heroes who sported halos as their fashion choices. There was Elijah, who did rather well in the miracle department, but wrestled with deepest despair. During that autumnal season, one of his prayers went like this: I've had enough, Lord, kill me now. That's unlikely to be produced as a prayer magnet for Christian refrigerators. And again, I mentioned earlier that the Apostle Paul spoke with gut-wrenching vulnerability about his own emotional shadows. And so, at long last, I decided to speak up and speak out. And initially, it felt quite unsafe to talk about navigating depression. And there were some who told me that I just didn't have enough faith, or that I should refrain from taking medication, which is bizarre. If I had a broken arm and my doctor suggested a sling I would wear. Looking back, there are some choices that I'll never make again, because you won't find me staggering around on platform hills. Trousers with flares will not make a comeback in my wardrobe. And I won't be sporting a mullet hairstyle, despite the rumour that it's coming back in style. I just don't have sufficient hair to make such a hairdressing choice if I wanted to. More importantly, this much I'll never do again. I won't slink back into shame silence about depression, seasons of sadness, however you want to describe those emotional conditions, because it's vital that we be a church that talks openly, honestly, and hopefully about mental health issues. When the Arctic chill of sadness strikes us, conversation about it allows us to huddle together for warmth. As we're talking about seasons of sadness, discussing depression, I mentioned earlier that I became a full-time church planting pastor at the tender age of 22. It was then that emotional clouds first gathered, and they came without a forecaster's warning. Back then, there really wasn't much conversation about depression in church circles, and for a Christian leader, emotional struggles were intensified by what felt like deafening silence. Honesty demands that I reveal that my own excursions into sadness have not been limited to my distant past. More recently, I confess that I've navigated a season of bereavements, family health issues, and some acts of betrayal from some fellow believers and leaders. And those circumstances combined have forged a knockout punch that has not put me flat on my back, but certainly left me reeling. And so I've come to a rather uncomfortable conclusion that I'd like us to think about. And that is that faith can actually contribute to depression rather than be a certain antidote for it. Now, before anyone is tempted to pick up a stone and lob it in my direction, let me explain. Those who have no belief in a God don't have to wrestle with the pesky question marks that faith at times brings. If there's no rhyme or reason for anything in the universe, if we're all just blobs of flesh, the product of evolutionary soup and nothing more, then there's nothing to be disappointed about when life is tinged or shrouded by a tragedy. Armed with a worldview that we all just live in a maze-like jungle and our mission is to just survive it and make the best of things, that soul is surely not disappointed because they have no expectations. But for those who believe in a God who is involved, loving, and interventional, it can be a tad more tricky. You see, we all know well that life is harsh and that we shouldn't be surprised at trial, and yet deep down we don't want to believe those sobering truths that are made clear in the New Testament. Christians suffer and Christians can get sad. And again, as I said at the start of this program, some of us live in church cultures where Christians are required to be happy and excited all of the time, especially on Sunday mornings. Thankfully, these days we're having more authentic conversations about mental health, and the call for worship songs expressing lament have been many. But sad songs are difficult to compose and tough to sing, especially if we're all supposed to be consistently sunning ourselves on the happy beach called Victory. Imagine the worship leader introducing the song entitled, "I'm Naffed Off, How About You?" That might not be everyone's favourite. And then there's shame, which can be another challenge to our feelings of well-being. Christians are acutely aware of the call to holiness, and those serious about their faith seek, with God's help, to align themselves to what He wants. But when failure comes, and if we refuse to accept God's stunning acceptance, grace, and pardon, the burden can become crushing. Some believers have told me that they just don't feel forgiven, as if genuine repentance should produce something like a 12-volt electrical charge that sparks between our ears, signaling that forgiveness has, yes, been granted. In truth, we accept grace in the same way that we came to Christ in the first place, by faith. So, tonight, if you're currently limping along a sad pathway and yours is a faithful hobble rather than a sprint in the race of faith, please be encouraged and don't give up. Jesus still lives up to His self-description, the way, the truth, the life. And perhaps spare a thought, and better still, a prayer for those called to lead in God's beautiful and at times bewildering family, because they are also human and they might be limping too. Tonight, I'd like to conclude the program with a song from The Afters. It's called Well Done. And this was played at the memorial service for a dear friend of mine, Steve Legg. The song contains some powerful words of encouragement. My prayer is that they'll strengthen you this very evening. Perhaps we've been talking about issues tonight that really affect you personally. You'd love to have the opportunity to talk with someone, to pray with someone, and the Premier Lifeline is available from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can call the Premier Lifeline on 0300 111 0101. That's 0300 111 0101. God bless you. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.